Psalm 51, verses 10 through 17. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. This is God's Word for God's people, and you are listening to God's Word from the Village.
This time, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. We'll have our second scripture lesson in during the message. I wanted to talk this morning about the fact that, well, it is Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is the beginning of our Lenten season. And I wanted to talk a little bit about this because I know that many of us who grew up in a Protestant tradition do not really celebrate Ash Wednesday, per se. Many of us did not go to churches where we received ashes on Ash Wednesday. So it's kind of a new and interesting thing. I think it's really meaningful. It means a lot to me, and I'm going to do my best to express to you why it is that it means so much to me. It's really kind of the season, this Lenten season, we often regard as being about sacrifice. I know many people grew up in times where they're taught to give something up for Lent. And a lot of times these are things that we should really give up anyway, if we can be perfectly honest. I know, for example, one of the women I work with every year during Lent, she gives up alcohol, except for St. Patrick's Day. She makes that distinction very clearly. But many people will give up chocolate, for example. I think that's, if you were to take a survey of the world and people who gave things up for Lent, chocolate would probably be the first thing that anyone's going to tell you they give up. It's probably the most common thing. And I don't know why that is. I like chocolate. I'm not giving up chocolate for Lent. But a few years ago, Robin and I decided that we would give up the biggest thing we possibly could. And it was difficult. We had a hard time. I had a harder time than you did. We gave up meat completely. We went on a completely vegan diet through Lent. And it wasn't really for me so hard to not have meat or meat products or animal products or things like that. But it was hard to find something to fix because we're so accustomed to having meat with meals. And it actually turned out to be kind of surprising what some of the things that didn't really know there were meat or meat products in them. So that was what was hard for Robin was, you know, it's time to fix dinner, honey. Good luck. Yeah. We did find some wonderful vegetarian recipes, though, that we still enjoy to this day. Not every day, but... But it's a season that we talk about sacrifice, and that's why we just yesterday was Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, which is the day that we prepare for Lent, the day we prepare for sacrifice by overindulging in everything we possibly can in preparation for this season of sacrifice. And yet, if I were the type of person who wagered, I would wager that if you went down to New Orleans today and talked to the people who were celebrating Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, and asked them what it was they were giving up for Lent, most of them probably aren't giving up a thing. They're not participating in the sacrifice. That's what this season seems to be about. We use ashes on Ash Wednesday. Ashes are a very symbolic thing. In ancient times, ashes would often be used most commonly to represent mourning. You see, one of the things that we are sacrificing, we mourn the thing that we sacrifice. We're apparently supposed to be sad about whatever it is we're giving up. If I was giving up chocolate, I would be sad. And some of the things, as I'm sure this person that I work with who has given up alcohol is going to be sad that they're not having alcohol, you see, because it's a sacrifice supposed to be something that we're going to miss. We are in this period of mourning for ourselves and the thing we're going to miss. But I really don't think that that is the best way to think about these ashes. Well, certainly we are going to have ashes upon ourselves in the fact that we're going to be mourning something, but let's not mourn what it is we're sacrificing. Let us mourn instead ourselves. Our second scripture lesson, I'm changing from what it says in the bulletin because I'm the pastor and I can do that. To be honest, to actually get bulletins printed for a middle-of-the-week service for me, I have to have them done the previous Sunday because that's when I have access to the photocopier. And if you've ever been here on Sunday, you know I don't always know what I'm going to talk about until Sunday. But our second scripture lesson is going to be from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we are mourning our old self. Because as Christ died for our sins, our sinful self died with him, and we can very readily have a funeral for the old self. And we can mourn for the old self because the old self is gone, and if we can be perfectly honest, we'll probably miss him. But we have a new self, a new person in us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. As our old self died, just as Jesus rose from the grave, as I hope I'm not spoiling Easter, he rose from the grave, so we too rose from the grave, but the old self remains there, or should. As we enter this season of Lent, this season of sacrifice, the thing I think we need to give up is who we used to be. A harder thing, still. I know I do some prison ministry, and I managed to spend time talking with some of the men who were in prison. And there was one I was talking to not too very long ago who he asked me to pray for him. And I said, well, what is it in particular you want me to pray for you about? And he said, I want to be different. I want to be better. And he's going through scripture, finding passages that talk about the way we're supposed to be. And he's looking for ways to improve himself. For example, he came across the scripture passage that said that we're supposed to be patient. So he started praying that he would be more patient. And I know I've heard people say, never pray for patience because God might just give it to you. So this man prayed for patience, and sure enough, it came up very soon that he needed to prove that he had patience. He was put in a situation where another inmate confronted him because he knew something about him. You see, this young man I was talking to has 1 year left in his sentence. 1 year. And there's something in the prison they call the hole, which really is a hole. And if you misbehave, you get put into this solitary confinement place where you are alone. Now, if you end up in the hole during your last year, it's very probable that you will end up having an additional year added to your sentence. And this person who didn't like this young man very much wanted to get him into the hole so he'd have to spend another year in prison. So one day during mealtime, he came over and sat down with this man and just started cussing at him and then spit in his food, expecting a fight. He prayed for patience. And as the man was getting up to leave, he said to this man that I had been talking to, he said, "I will be in my cell all day with the door open. If you know what's good for me, come see me." So he was talking to his cellmate right after that and told him the story about what was going on. He said, this is of course what I get for praying for patience. And he said, "I can't do it. I can't be this patient. I'm going to go see him, and I'm going to make sure he stops doing whatever he does to me, whatever it is he's doing to me." So he got up and went to the other man's cell, and he was standing there at the door. And the man was in his cell, and he said, "Come on in." He said, "No. I've spent too much of my life going into cells. Too much of my life going into prison cells. I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it this time." He told me he realized he couldn't be patient, but God was. God gave him the patience. He was content that that part of his old self was dead. That part of his old self was gone. So we will mourn this season, in this season of sacrifice, our old self, the part of us that is gone away, the part of us that we're all, quite honestly, better off without. In the psalm that we read earlier, it said that we know God does not delight in sacrifices. And in the modern church, we do not have sacrifices per se, as they did in ancient times. But we still sacrifice. What God cares most about us is the condition of our hearts. I think in this season of Lent, that's what we should focus on. The condition of our hearts. The passing of the old self. And we also take ashes for a second reason. And that's why I like to have a service in the morning. Is you've got these ashes on your forehead as a symbol, as a mark of your faith in Christ. We are showing the world, not bragging, but showing the world that, yes, we are followers of Christ. I know in a lot of churches, just because it's, well, admittedly, it's more convenient to have a church service in the evening for most people. But you go to your Ash Wednesday church service in the evening, you have your ashes, you go home, and you wash. You know, it's over. One of the reasons I like to do this in the morning is because we have all day to show the people that we meet that we're followers of Christ and we're not ashamed. I was talking to our daughter about this morning. She's 10 years old in the fourth grade. And she said to me, "Dad, before I go to school this morning, I want ashes." And I told her what they mean. I said, "Do you still want them?" She said, "Absolutely." In fact, she wore a headband to keep her bangs off her forehead so that people could see her ashes. She's such a good girl. And she's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one of my favorite things about her. She's not ashamed. So as you, when you receive your ashes, if you choose to receive them, it's up to you what you do with them. It's up to you if you continue to wear them through the day. It's up to you who you talk to, because people will notice. I remember a few years ago on a Ash Wednesday, I went to an Ash Wednesday service at the Episcopal Church in downtown Pittsburgh. And Bishop Duncan, the then bishop of the Episcopal Church, was doing the service. And I had met him previously, and it's my understanding that that man remembers everybody he's ever met, and he knows who they are. And in the normal Protestant tradition, I was sitting near the back of the church, and people were going up and receiving their ashes, and they'd get the little, he'd put the little cross on their foreheads, and I got up there. He had not done this to anybody else, but I'm guessing he noticed that I'm a little thin on top, and he went to give me my ashes, and he started here, and he came all the way down to the bridge of my nose, and then all the way across. And he had the biggest smile on his face when he was doing it. And proudly, I wore those ashes all day. So when the time comes, I will ask you to ask yourself.
Well, the benediction is a good and final word.
You put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for us today, I think, is the ashes. And we leave today with this mark on us, supposedly showing that we are followers of Christ. Well, I hope that this isn't the only way people know you follow Christ. And I hope that without it, they can still tell that you are following Christ. But we can let this today be our voice to make sure they know. My friend Pastor Tom was telling us not long ago that someone came into the church once and they couldn't figure out who the pastor was because nobody was wearing a robe. And he said, well, I hope that people can tell that I'm a pastor even without the robe. And I hope people can tell that you are followers of Christ even without the ashes. This service is over. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.